Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Philosophy is a required course in many colleges and universities, but as far as studying it goes, few of us ever get beyond that basic level. But on a more basic level, we could say it's part of our everyday life, with so much tied to our philosophical views, from politics to managing our finances, how we raise our kids, criminal justice. UWM philosophy professor Robert Schwartz takes a look back at a few American philosophers of old and asks us to re-examine their ideas. They were called the pragmatists: John Dewey, William James, Charles Sanders Peirce. In his book, Rethinking Pragmatism, From William James to Contemporary Philosophy, Schwartz challenges readers to re-examine these age-old ideas and gain some current understanding, as he tells Lake Effect's Dan Harmon.
The basic idea of it is that one should make sure that your inquiries are grounded in experiment, grounded in observation, grounded in reality. It's in fact a funny thing about current views, of, in particular in philosophy, the pragmatists are sometimes called anti-realists. In their day, they were the realists in the sense of they were realistic.
Were these three philosophers at the time, were they worried that other philosophers were just getting out of control, or they were going off on places that were just beyond any practical use?
Two things. I mean, first of all, they recognized that there was strands of pragmatism running back from ancient times. Second, they did think that the way philosophy was being practiced in many areas had sort of lost its touch with the real issues that concerned how we live. On the other hand, it's a mistake to think that they were sort of rooted in the practical everyday and eschewed the theoretical. In fact, it was the other way around. They didn't think you could make good sense out of the practical unless you brought to bear theoretical and, in general, intellectual attempts to look at the problems. On the other hand, they didn't want the intellectual to turn into a sort of scientism as opposed to science, where it was speculation. It's an interesting thing that term pragmatism in some ways has almost turned on its head the meaning, where many people in the common usage of the pragmatist view is the ends justify the means. And that was a position they excoriated, the whole idea that you could think of ends independent of the means that you took to achieve them. Then it made no sense. I mean, example, I want to make money, but I don't want to make money by robbing someone. I don't want to make money by forging something or anything of that sort. It was always, you know, how do I get the Nobel Prize? It's, I want to get it through my work, not because I killed off my competitor or paid someone off on the judges. So it was the idea that the ends justify the means, as it's sometimes put, or you're in it just to work out how to get things done, is not.
Yeah, or just the idea that it's something sensible to be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did want it to be sensible, right? But sensible did not mean a theoretical, non-intellectual. They wanted to distinguish intellectualism from serious intellectual endeavors.
The three pragmatists of the late 1800s, did they lose favor? They lose the battle, if you will? Or, I mean, because they kind of went under the radar and just kind of went away for a long time.
I wrote a paper called Whatever Happened to Pragmatism, in which at one time they were a dominant force, and many, in fact, think of them as the only true American philosophy, although Peirce had a lot of problems and never really had a real academic job of sorts. Both James and Dewey were not only well-known, they taught at the best universities. They had worldwide reputations. But that general approach to philosophy did sort of fall off the track for a while. But it was partly in response to logical positivism and other theories of that sort. But then maybe about 50 years later, there was a revolt against the positivist sort of analytic philosophy that really was reawakening just some of the views that the pragmatists had said 50 years earlier. But it still remained dormant, and even people who were putting forth these clearly pragmatic views never really associated themselves with it.
So they never got credit for it, basically.
They became, in fact, not what your most prominent people worked and not what most prominent schools. When I was a student, there was practically no courses at all offered on the subject. On the other hand, I mean, Dewey, because of his work in education, he was probably the most important writer in education in English-speaking world.
His book, Democracy in Education.
Yeah, and that still was more impact probably than any other philosophical work throughout the world, in China and Europe.
Well, your book is called Rethinking Pragmatism. I'm interested to know what it is that you think we need to re-examine from that era, what was lost, you know, what we can gain from looking back at their philosophy.
Well, part of it is, I mean, I too were not brought up in that tradition and began working on problems and working with people whose views I think fit in well with theirs, and then, you know, began to realize after a while that I was sort of speaking pragmatism, and went back and found that they did have a lot of important things to say and that they predated a lot of the criticism that was being made at the time in the 60s and 70s and late 50s. Why they fell off the map is really unclear. And I mean, I think I said I wrote a paper on it and asked various people, and no one really had a clear story. But the revival really came with a work of Richard Rorty called Philosophy in the Mirror of Nature, in which he was an analytic philosopher, was at Princeton, and sort of said, you know, a lot of what's going on nowadays is nonsense, and the pragmatists knew that, and they wrote about it, so let's go in. My own thing is, it seems to me, not just here, but in other things I've written, that you can often get an insight to where we are today from where we came and can separate out problems that you, and this is, I think, a theme of the pragmatist, problems that made sense at the time, but no longer make sense given what we know about science, culture, humanity in general today. But a lot of academic philosophy kept going back to the, as if they're dealing with the same problem. In fact, I think that was fit in with my own views of things, that these things change. It's true that there may be sort of enduring problems of philosophy in the sense, like, how do we live a good life or an ethical life? But they were stressing is there's no answer to that question that is good for all times and all cultures and things, that as we learn more about psychology and sociology, it doesn't make sense to have our old institutions, and the institutions had to evolve. Philosophy was to help make these approaches, institutions, problems more accessible to empirical study and things, as opposed to just falling in with the old dichotomies of mind, body, value, fact, is, or the whole slew of things that still today are sort of the dividing line in much of the debates in philosophy, when facts are somehow more important or at least more scientific than values, whether there's a split between the individual and society, and they were trying to sort of break down these things, or at least get us to rethink what these problems amounted to in whatever context you were working in.
Is there a final maybe lesson or something that we could learn from their philosophies that would be applicable today?
Well, as I said, I don't think they have as such a philosophy as opposed to a method of inquiry, and this idea of don't accept these sort of always black and white things until you think out what is what, and maybe the divisions are not what they look like, that they're often things that put you've got to be either A or B. And a lot of their work was to say that, look, extreme A is crazy and extreme B is crazy, and there's some truth in both of them, and what you've got to do is find some way to work out what the mid-ground, but the working out had to be done in the context of what was going on at your time, and and things of that sort. So I think the lesson might be, you know, is just to these sort of eternal truths, supposedly, or obvious truths that we hang on to, that we, and it's either got to be true or it's got to be false, or there's the correct or the incorrect. And they were more, particularly Dewey, saying, well, think a little bit more about what's going on.
Well, Professor Robert Schwartz, thank you very much for coming on Lake Effect.
You're welcome.
Robert Schwartz is a distinguished professor of philosophy at UW-Milwaukee. He's author of the book Rethinking Pragmatism, From William James to Contemporary Philosophy, published by Wiley-Blackwell. He spoke with Dan Harmon. Philosophically and pragmatically speaking, that is going to do it for Lake Effect today. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock. Have a great day.